Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so excited that you decided to join us on today. Come on in and make yourself at home and grab your Bible. We have a great lesson on today. We'll be talking about some series over a couple of our session in regards to holiness. Today's lesson is going to be the necessity of holiness. And so we're going to take a closer look at holiness and that which God is calling for his church and his people. So I'm so glad that you're here. Come on in. I'm excited about you today. God is going to bless you in a profound and a blessed way. So I want you to grab your pen and a pencil so you can take you some notes and write some things down. And as always, if you need to get some more information, you can feel free to email me or check out our website and our church email address is there. And you can just give us a call or contact us. We'll be more than glad to make sure that you get this information into your hands because I know it's going to transform your life and you are going to be blessed and be the child of God that God has called you out to be and live in the abundancy of the blessings of the Lord. Because I hear scripture ringing in my heart, the Lord maketh us rich and added no sorrow. And he's going to bless you. Yes, you. I'm talking to you with a no sorrow blessing. Amen. As he continue to open up your heart, mind, and soul in these profound lessons from the Lord. So again, today we're talking about the necessity of holiness, and you stay tuned because at the end, I'll give you that information that you can contact, and then we're going to pray the blessings over you. Amen. So the key verse that we're going to be looking at centered around our lesson on today is Hebrews 12:14, and it reads on this line, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Our focus is going to be around the issue of holiness, and it shouldn't be taken lightly as a child of God, because God's church must be pure and holy, for no sin, child of God, will enter into heaven, and that's why we're getting it right down here, amen? And so let's take a look at one of our scripture foundation for today is Romans 6, verses number 6 through 17, and Revelation 21, verses 7 through 8. And it reads on this line, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death have no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let no sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall have no dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servant ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanks that we were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Revelation, verse number 21, verse 7 and 8. Chapter 21, verse 7 and 8. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers, the idolaters and the liars shall have their part in the lake which burning with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And that's the reading of the scriptures that for to lay our foundation. Again, child of God, we're talking about the necessity of holiness. You can definitely check out or listen to the station or one of the archive lessons that begin this series on what is holiness. And it gave a understanding about what holiness is. And so now we're going to look at why and the necessity of that. We must recognize that God is holy. Holiness is one of the characteristics of God. In other words, he is totally and absolutely pure and undefiled. And because of this attribute of God, child of God, we must recognize, amen, that he cannot tolerate sin in any form or fashion. It is against his nature. It was because of Lucifer's sin and God's holiness that Lucifer was cast out of heaven. Lucifer, also known as Satan, was one of the angels of heaven, but because became proud and created havoc in heaven. And Satan and those angels which follow his lead were cast out of heaven immediately because God will not abide with sin. And we must recognize that. And if you find yourself among and with people that are going against what God desires, you need to separate yourself and things. God created a beautiful world and placed Adam and Eve in the wonderful paradise called the Garden of Eden. The enemy deceived them, however, and they sinned and lost their state of innocence. Humanity faced several judgments because of their disobedience. One aspect of judgment was death. They were sentenced to die, and they began to age. But the worst judgment of all was the separation from God. And that's key, children of God. Because of their sin, Adam and Eve lost their sweet time of communion with God. And that's something that you have to value and hold fast to. Even in the dark hour of sin, however, a ray of hope was beaming earthward from heaven. God promised a redeemer to deliver people from their sin and bondage. The blood of Jesus Christ, the sinless Lamb of God, who would make salvation possible for human race. The eternal God would clothe himself in flesh and become our sin offering. Mankind experiencing salvation through an experience called the new birth, through repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. We are born again. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. At the initial point of the new birth experience, a person is a perfect babe in Christ. And he had much growing to do. This growth process is maturing in Christ and becoming more like Christ. A person take on the holy nature of God at his spiritual birth. But this is key. He or she must still live in this fleshly body. However, holiness is necessary to cleanse and to prepare them to live a Christ-like life here on earth and ultimately to prepare themselves for heaven. Without holiness, we cannot see the Lord. And that is so powerful. Without holiness, we will not see the Lord. Amen? And so let's look at another point. Holiness necessary for the Christian life or the child of God life. It is so necessary for the child of God. And let's look at our first point. The first point is that we are dead to sin. And let's take a look at that. It said, before coming to God, a person is alive to sin. Indeed, sin is the matter that reigns in their lives. Sometimes we may wonder how and why some individual commit hideous crime, horrible acts of violence and sin. It is because they are not in complete control. They are serving the master, Satan himself. For this reason, people are bound by drugs, alcohol, and sinful pleasure. Enslaved individuals often despise the life that they are given, but they feel powerless to deny the sinful urges that urging them to do that which is wrong. It's that when we come to God, the first thing that we must do is to believe in God. We must first believe that he is able and willing to help us, and we must have faith in his word, which will motivate us to obey him. Hebrews 11:6 states, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is going to reward you, because when you diligently seek after God, God will reward you, child of God. With true faith in God and his word, a sinner will feel remorse for their sin, convicted in their heart of their lustful past. They repent in their sins and confess their transgression to God, seeking his forgiveness. This is a spiritual death, dying out to sin and to selfish desires. And many times we die out to sin, but we also go a little further and die out to even our own selfish desires. Because the sinner has died spiritually to his own sinful will, a burial is then in order. The scripture reveals that we are buried with Christ in water baptism as we are immersed in the name of Jesus Christ. And you'll read that over in Romans chapter number 6. And verse number 4, a person has died spiritually in repentance and have been buried in the name of Jesus Christ. He or she is ready to receive the resurrection to new life in Christ. And receiving the infilling of the Holy Ghost completes the new birth experience by resurrecting them to walk in the new spiritual motivated life. We are new creation in Christ Jesus and dead to our past life of sin and defeat. The old things are passed away and all things have become new. The new convert takes on the divine nature of Christ. Their desires are changed to things they once loved, they now hate, and the things they once hate, they now love. For instance, God hates sin. And after receiving the Holy Ghost, the new child of God also hates sin or lose their appetite for the sinful pleasure that filled their life before their conversion. Unfortunately, this does not mean that the child of God is incapable of sinning. The fleshly nature is still present in us, but we can live victorious over sin as long as we keep the old nature of sin under submission to the new spirit within us. We must recognize a person will sin if they allow their fleshly desire to overpower the influence of the Spirit of God. And that right there is something that you want to put down on your piece of paper. It said that we must allow the Spirit of God to have precourse in our lives. Otherwise, our fleshly desires will overpower the influence of the Spirit of God operating in our life. And that's why you can see why people who really do have the Holy Ghost and things can live any type of a lifestyle, because they're not allowing the Spirit of God to influence them, to lead and guide them into all truth. And that's where it's key that we must yield unto God. yield to the Spirit of the Lord and allowing God, and yielding is just slowing down in our hearts and minds and saying, God, lead me and guide me into all truth. What is the truth of the matter? Your righteousness, where the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And things. And so taking that moment and saying, Lord, what does the kingdom of God state about this matter? What is your righteousness about this particular matter? And once you run that or yield to that and giving God permission to lead and guide in the Spirit of God to lead and guide you into all truth, that's where you can allow the influence of the Holy Ghost to override your own fleshly desire. And that's the revelation of that and the key principle of yielding your life to the Spirit of God. Now, let's look here. We must also recognize that as we're moving forward, even in this particular life and allowing the Spirit of God to have precourse and preeminence in our lives, we will see the hand of the Lord more readily. As long as we are living in this flesh, the battle for control of our lives will continue to rage. But God give us power to overcome sin and to live holy. And remember, I was talking about that fleshly desire versus a power or the Spirit of God, and you warn against those two entities. It says, here it is in Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8. It said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And that's what the scripture states. You shall receive power, child of God. It said the early church members were first called Christians at Antioch because they reminded people of the lifestyle of Jesus Christ. What a tremendous compliment. Holiness is a progress of growth and where over a period of time we conquer fleshly traits and become more like Jesus. We do not experience the new birth 1 week and become mature saints the next week. It is a day-by-day walk with Jesus. It has been said that conversion is the miracle of a moment, but the making of a saint is a lifetime job. Now, I like that because that is so true, that conversion, it can take place in just a moment, but becoming Christ-like and doing what God will want us to do, it is going to take a lifetime to become a saint and a child of God. It's a constant progress in our life, a constant walk day by day with the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians should learn not to be satisfied at any certain level of spiritual growth and stop there. Since it takes a lifetime to growing in grace to approach perfect perfection and holiness, to cease to grow is to begin to shrivel and to die. Holiness and perfection are closely related. Perfection means that there are no flaws or variants or blemish in something. God is holy and perfect. God needs no improvement. God is the epitome of purity and perfection. He is the pattern of perfection, which we are all should strive to attain to one day. While in this life, we will never achieve absolute perfection, for it is an ever inclusive goal of us to draw nigh unto God and to draw closer and to walk like him and be holy, for I am holy. So we're constantly striving towards that place of perfection. This is no excuse for careless living and worldliness, however. The scripture mandate is that we continually strive for perfection. We constantly press towards the mark of a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So we got to continually press forward, child of God. Holy living is necessary for the child of God's living. We must live holy to even exist spiritually. We will either live in our lives as dead to sin and let Christ live within us, or we will become spiritually dead. To be holy is twofold. Number one, to be holy is to be set apart for God. That is, separated from sin and the things of this world. Also, holiness is also to be consecrated and dedicated to God and his purpose on earth. So here we have the twofold purpose of necessity of holiness. Number one, to be set apart for God, that is, be separated from sin and the things of the world. Number two, holiness is to be consecrated and dedicated to God and to God's purpose on earth. B, let's look at our next point on today. We are alive to Christ. We are alive to Christ. And let's take a look at that. It said, the flesh will lust after the former things if we allow it to. It is forever seeking to gain dominance over the spiritual man and bring a person back into bondage all over again. Paul admonishes us not to allow sin to reign in our mortal body. We are not to yield our members as members of ungodly living anymore. We can overcome these temptations by being alive in Christ, that is, being sensitive to and led by the Spirit of God. A child of God must always be filled with the Spirit of God. Human beings are no match within their own power for the enemies of their soul. Only the Spirit of God has power to help a person overcome sin. We can be thankful that God did not leave us vulnerable to those forces of evil. He knew that we could not do it in our own, so he gave us the wonderful Holy Ghost to give us the needed power. It is another demonstration of the love that God has for his creation, the liberty and freedom that God has given us to grow in his grace and holiness does not give us a license to sin or abuse the grace of God. It said here, Romans 6 and 15, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. If we yield ourselves to sin, we will become servant of sin again. God wants us to remain victorious, overcoming believers. When we live holy, Christ is sitting upon the thrones of our lives. We obey his commandments and are his servants. We use our talents and resources for the glory of God. It's no longer our fleshly arrogance that seeks preeminence. Rather, we want to radiate Christ to anyone who we meet. Our members become the hands, the eyes, the feet, and the mouth to be used to glorify God. And we seek not our own, but we seek to bring glory unto God. Everything that we are, everything that we got, will be bring glory and honor. Even that business, when you begin to say, God, let this business bring glory and honor to you and bless people, dear God, God will take that business places where you cannot even take it because you acknowledged him and you're operating in those godly principles as putting God as the head of that business, and God will use you in a profound way. Let's look at another piece here. Holiness is necessary to please God. Holiness is necessary to see the Lord. We must recognize that holiness is sometimes associated with legalism by some people. In fact, holiness is a state or a condition of living a godly life. It is not to be confused with standards of holiness. Standards, whether corporate or personal, are guidelines which are structured to help us to live disciplined life. And so I want you to really to get that revelation because we talked about it in our first session in regards about what is holiness. We made the distinction between the standards of holiness and what holiness is. And so we want to recognize again, standards are things that are guidelines that govern a structure or a corporation or an entity. It may be a community of faith or a church or organization. These are the standards in which they govern and how they operate within that entity. And so you must recognize that even if there are standards within your church, those are the things that the man or the woman of God who prayerfully sought out the heart of God has enacted or put in place for the protection of that flock. Now, when you look even and recognize that, you know, fences is able to provide safetiness for that particular area. And so some those standards are there for our protection that God has allowed the man or the woman of God to set in place for their house or the house of God that they are overseeing or the under-shepherd there or the shepherdess there and things. And we must recognize that. Amen. They do not in and of themselves create holiness, but they are needed to help us to control our flesh and unruly spirits and maintain order within our Christian or walk with the Lord and create unity within the body of Christ in striving for our mutual goal of pleasing God. And I pray that you got that piece. That's so key, child of God, as to understanding why certain standards and rules are set in place in your church or in your place of locale. We do not adhere to standards or rule in an effort to gain salvation, for salvation is a gift from God, but they do provide us with biblical guidelines on how we as child of God are to conduct ourselves even in this world. Holiness is a part of a loving relationship that we have with God. In everything we say or do, we are seeking to please Him. No standards or acts of discipline will gain or merit the favor of God. Whether there are our response to His holiness we receive in salvation experience, they are biblical principles applied to the way we live. And as we seek to please God by presenting ourselves in holiness as living sacrifice, a man, a husband, and wife, or children, try to adhere to behavior that reflects their love for each other. They do not want to hurt those who are the object of their affection. Rather, they do everything possible to try to delight and please their companion. Holiness is necessary to please the Lord and to seek Him in peace someday. Anything that will help us to collectively and individually to be holy inwardly and outwardly as a people of God is surely worthwhile. We desire to dwell in a clean God, desires to dwell in a clean temple, and His temple today is in the life of His people. Our being body, soul, and spirit is where God dwells. He is holy. He is righteously demands that His people be holy if we reside within them. Oil and water will not mix. They are foreign to each other and will never come together, for they are incompatible. In a similar fashion, God and sin will never mix together. They are simply not compatible. The scriptures demand us and command us to keep ourselves separated from the world and to be holy. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 6 and 17. He said, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separated, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you," is what the word of the Lord states. It is the desire of every child of God to make heaven their eternal home. We want to see Jesus in peace and hear Him say, "Well done." Holiness could also cover the subject of our spiritual vision. Carnal or worldly people mind the things of the flesh. Their desire and appetites are centered around things that appeal to the flesh and base things. Their goals in life, their time and energy are dedicated to what feel good to the carnal man. However, on the other hand, in contrast, holy living is a direct opposite of this. Godly people have set their affection on things above. They are interested in pleasing God. They have a clear vision of lost humanity, a harvest field awaiting the reapers. They have the mind of Christ and understand the heartbeat of God as he looks for the lost sheep. Carnal people cannot see the Lord because their eyes are glazed over for sin and lukewarmness. Spiritual people have a clear vision. They have a clear vision. Now, let's look at the next point here. Our next point is a church without spot. Let's look at one of these examples here that I like to read in your hearing. It said one man wrote of his experiences working for a paint company which specialized in a custom mixing. One of the colors was called white shadow. It was white paint with a 1 3/4 of an ounce of black tainting in it. It looked white, but it was slightly tainted, so it wasn't pure white. The Lord is coming for a church that is pure, without even the taint of any spot of sin. One man spoke of an important object lesson that he learned about holiness only as a child. One night in children's church, the teacher showed us three small jars of beans. One jar compared the dark beans and another compared the white beans in it. The third jar contained speckled beans. And she said the white beans represent a pure heart and the dark beans are evil heart. She then said that the speckled bean represented someone with a trace of sin and evil that have contaminated their heart. The speckled beans were mostly white except for the little dark spots that was on them. And we must recognize that God is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And that spots can be any colors and things like that in the eyesight of God. If it's sin, it's sin. If it's not right, it's not right in things. If it's going to offend God and God's kingdom, no matter what it is, it's an offense to God. And we must consider not to even to partake in that. The Lord wants a pure and a holy church, and only those individuals who are ready when he catches away his bride will be included in that pure and perfect body. Any spot or blemish of sin will spell trouble on that great day. Holiness involves the total person. It is more than just the outward appearance of an individual, although that too will be affected as a part of holy living. Holiness is a part first, an experience with God that liberates a person from sin and transforms them from a sinful nature and allow God to move into their life. Jesus spoke a great deal about the attitudes and motives of people. We must have a pure heart and honest motive if we want to please him. They must be an absence of malice, no envy, no hatred, and no covetousness in our heart. On the other hand, we must be filled with love, compassion, and honesty within our heart. In Matthew chapter 5 through 7, Jesus dealt with many of the attitudes that made for holy living. These are vital, for if the inner man is kept right with God, it will reflect itself in the outward appearance also. How do we keep ourselves clean and spotless in the eyes of God? Well, God has equipped us in several ways so that we can keep our heart right. God has given to the church a fivefold ministry for the edifying of the body. It is through the preaching. It is through the teaching of the church ministry, a clear and certain sound direction that is given. And it's through the fivefold ministry. The preaching of the word also has a cleansing effect on the people of God. Even when you're reading the word, it comes to cleanse and to strengthen us, that he might be sanctified and cleansed it with the washing of water by the word. And that's over in Ephesians 5 and verse number 26. Again, Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 26. Through private devotion and study of God's word, we can grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. During our times of prayer, we can receive gentle nudges from the Lord to instruct us in the way of holiness. In prayer, we can listen to the Lord as he talks to us about holiness. For those who desire to please the Lord, holiness is a means of consecration and dedication to draw closer to God. God can also speak to us regarding holiness through the voice of our conscience. Guilt and condemnation can cause us to examine our behavior to see whether it is pleasing God. But this must be evaluated in the light of the word of the Lord. And that's when that conviction, when God comes and convicts our spirit for a behavior perhaps we may have engaged in or done. And you kind of like feel so bad. You kind of, oh, why I felt like that or why I do that. And that's when God brings it to our mind, our conscience, that what we did was not really pleasing to God. And God will want us to take that moment to stop and just say, Lord, please forgive me. That was not right. Please forgive me of my sin. And I pardon myself for doing that. And just accept that forgiveness and go on and don't repeat it. Amen. Relative morality, whether there is no guidelines or border, is not sufficient or why. Just because we feel no condemnation regarding a matter of holiness does not free us regardless. Unless we had examined it in the scripture, and we must take and in light of the scripture and go to the scripture and recognize what we have done and say, Lord, your word declare. And Father, I come right now to ask you to cleanse and wash me from that particular incident. Holiness is a separation from sin and the world, but it's not isolation. Someone has said holiness is installation, not isolation. We are not to be separate ourselves to the extent that we withdraw from engaging with just in life itself. God does not intend for us to live like hermits or secluded in the secluded wilderness or anything away from people, but he wants us to be with inward man, have a set of standards and have a set of guidelines within of towards holiness, what's going to bring glory and honor unto God as opposed to just living any type of way. It said, how could we reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ? We can maintain our purity and still live among ungodly people. We can love the sinner and yet hate the sin that enslaves them by inhibiting or exhibiting a godly lifestyle. We can be the salt of the earth and the light in the midst of a dark world. Our conversation, proper attitude, even godly dressing that's going to bring glory and honor unto God. And the places that we frequent can radiate the message of Christ to a sinful world. And these are things that God has already set in place for us as children of God. Amen. Let's look at the next point. This point is talking about holiness is necessary for heaven. We must recognize sin and Satan was cast out of heaven. And no sin is going to go into heaven. And that's key for us to recognize, children of God, because everything is not getting in. And we must recognize that as a people of God. And I know sometimes people can grapple with that or wrestle with that, but we must look well into. The Bible said, examine yourself whether you be even in the faith. That's what the Bible said. God would not allow heaven to be tainted by sin or Satan. Satan and a great number of fallen angels were cast out of heaven long ago because of their rebellion and pride. For thousands of years, Satan and these demons have been at work trying to thwart the purpose of God by deceiving humanity and tempting them to sin. They will eventually be cast into the lake of fire to receive their eternal sentence of damnation. They will no longer create a newness or pollute the mind and heart of the people of God. The Bible said over in Isaiah 14 and 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did awaken the nation?" That's again Isaiah 14 and verse number 12. Sin is a transgression of the law. It is an evil sounding word, but the act of sin is even more evil. It is impossible to calculate the grief, hurt, and pain that has been caused by sin. If every human that has ever lived was multiplied by the number of times that have been sinned in his lifetime, it would be a staggering figure. God's love for his creation so much that he went to the cross and bore our sins so that we could be delivered from the bondage of our sin. He hates sin and the devil, the one who is responsible for all of the human comment, will receive their deserved fate forever. He will be joined by his companion who has shared in his destruction of many of souls. Now let's take another look. Heaven, on the other hand, is the dwelling place for the holy. The promise of heaven is a wonderful hope for every child of God who awaits the rapture of the church. This is the place that God has prepared that is free from sin and corruption. God has been preparing us a place for us that defines the description here over in the book of John 14 and 2. It states, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." Here on earth, we are surrounded by a barrage of ungodly living. It seems that in growth worse, it grows worse, even as we're drawing closer to God and the coming of Jesus is drawing nigh. It seems as though it is waxing even worse. And that's what the Bible let us know that it was. As Lot was vexed by the ungodly lives of the citizenry of Sodom, so are the troubled things that are going on around us. Our jobs, we have heard ungodly conversation, and billboards along even the highways often lured and are evil. Even the magazine covers in the grocery store are even just filled with even the rage and the different things of the ungodly living to perpetrate and things, that ungodly lifestyle. But we must recognize, thanks be unto God, that this situation will be changed soon. For we know that Jesus is soon to come. Heaven will be our new home, and then we will dwell there forever, and we will have no worries or temptation. Tears will be forever wiped away. Disease will be gone forever. These assurances give us added incentives to live holy in this present life. We should live holy because we love God, and God desired to, and we desire to please Him. However, the hope of heaven adds to our desire to live godly in this world. And over in 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, the Bible states, "And every man that hath this hope in him or her purified themselves, even as he or she is pure." And we must recognize that and things of the purity that God is preparing for the children of God. Let's take another look at this story. It says, the story is told of a king who took himself a bride who was not of the royal birth. She was plain and poor. She did not know of the palace etiquette, but he loved her and married her anyway. A lengthy period of preparation followed as she was schooled in the proper etiquette and behavior. She was fitted with the finest of clothes and given the best perfume. The day arrived when the king was able to proudly display his new bride to be his subject. She was ready to be the queen. So it is. God has chosen us, children of God. And guess what? He is providing us with the etiquettes of his kingdom. And he's providing us with the royal clothing and the finest of clothing that we can gird ourselves in the garment of salvation. And he robed us in his own righteousness, child of God. And one day, he's coming for his bride. And we will be ready. Amen. It said, we are the poor, were in poor in sin. But the Lord, he still yet loved us. The scripture let us know. He commanded his love towards us. We have been going through a period of growth and perfection as we learn to be holy and godly. And someday, we will present us, he will present himself, us to himself, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Can you shout hallelujah, gloria, shandala, be unto God. One day, even as the story was taught about the king who took him a bride that was not of the royal birth and who was plain and poor and did not know anything about the palace etiquette, and he married her anyway because he loved her. And guess what? Also through the long, lengthy preparation and being schooled in the proper etiquette and the proper behavior. Don't you know, child of God, when you're going and reading your Bible, going to Sunday school, Christian education, going to Bible study and going to the house of God, God is teaching us those godly etiquettes and godly behavior. And guess what? Though he's going to fit us with those clothing and those garments and even preparing us to be ready for when he come back to catch his bride away, will you be ready, child of God? Allow yourself to be schooled and taught in the things of God. Let's look in our closing. It said, when Isaiah saw the Lord and the angel were crying, holy, holy, holy. God is pure and undefiled and holy. He cannot tolerate sin and evil in his presence. He cast out Lucifer and the other rebellious angel because of their sin. God would not allow sin to pollute heaven. When mankind was created, he was innocent and pure, but Satan tempted them to fall in Eden. By the act of disobedience, Adam brought spiritual death and sin into human race. God made a way through his own sacrifice for our sin so that we could be delivered from our bondage. Through him, God gives mankind the opportunity to be born again and to take on a new nature. We are then new creation in Christ Jesus. But after we are born again, we still have much growing to do. We have to learn to live pleasing to the Lord. A holy life is essential to please God. Holy living consists of many areas of our life. It deals with our attitude. It deals with our desires. And it deals with our conversation. It begins with the inner man of the heart. And it manifested itself in the controls of our members. It is manifested by both our lifestyle and our attitude in which we live our life. We must recognize, child of God, that holy living is also required and deals with our attitude, our desires, and our conversation. Jesus is coming soon after a church without spot or blemish. We seek to live holy so that we can please him and be ready for the rapture when he comes for the church. Jesus is preparing an eternal abode for the church that he loves. It is a place that sin can never defile. Heaven will be our dwelling place. It is a place where the Holy God will be surrounded by a redeemed people, his bride who has lived a life of holiness. And so, child of God, I pray that this lesson gives you a greater understanding about holiness is necessary to see the Lord. It said, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separated, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you. And we must recognize that also holiness is necessity. It's necessary for the life of the child of God. And it said that for without faith it is possible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And the scripture reference that we laid at the beginning of our lesson is state over in Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 14. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We must recognize that conversion is the miracle of the moment, but the making of a child of God is a lifetime job, that we live and walk with the Lord Jesus Christ day by day. And we must recognize that the Word of God is what is going to cleanse us and also sanctify us. And we found that over in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, verse 26. And it states that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. And so, child of God, it is imminent. It is important. It is imperative that we spend quality time in the Bible, listening to our Bible tapes or listening to the Word of God, and because it edifies and it builds. But not only that, it sanctifies and it cleanses and washes the children of God. And so we must recognize that that's where God wants to bless his people, in and through living holy. And it is necessary. It's necessary for a child of God. It's necessary for us to please God. It's necessary for us to even to get into heaven. It is necessary for us as the children of God to be holy. For I am holy is what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and requiring of the people of God. Just like the story of the king himself who took the bride who was not from the royal lineage, but because he had a love for that beautiful young lady, so it is that God loves us. He loves you, child of God, and he's called you out and sanctified your life for himself. And now, as you listening to these sessions, God is teaching and schooling you in the proper etiquettes and behavior that bring glory and honor unto him. And as you give your life to him and be baptized in that precious name for the Jesus for the remission of your sin and filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, he is going to clothe you, child of God, with the robe of righteousness. And he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, child of God. And so when you feel the conviction of the Lord and when you feel the Holy Ghost nugging you and saying, don't do that, you ask God to forgive you. And you go ahead and do the things that pleasing unto God, and God will richly bless you and overthrow you. Do not allow your own fleshly desire to overshadow the Spirit of God as is leading and guiding you into all truth. And when you find yourself at that moment, just quiet your heart, quiet your mind, quiet your spirit, and say, God, speak. Holy Spirit, speak to me. Or lay it in my heart, lay it in my spirit, the direction that you want me to go. And I give you permission to close every door that's not pleasing unto you in my life. And when you begin to pray that and walk in that prayer and walk in that mindset, God will lead you, and you giving the Spirit of God to lead and guide you into all truth, child of God. And so I want you to know that God loves you and that he has so many wonderful blessings that he's going to bless you with. The Bible said he maketh us rich and added no sorrow. And these no sorrow blessings, as I spoke of earlier in our show, are for you, the children of God. And I want to, in my closing, to touch and agree with you, whatever it is that is according to God's will that you're seeking God to do in your life. Recognize there's nothing too hard for God. We have been talking about the miracles in our church. We have been seeing God do some wonderful, some awesome miracles in our church. Oh, it's just been so awesome just to see what God has been doing. And I come to share my faith with you, child of God, that there is absolutely nothing too hard for God. I want to encourage you to look to the hill today from which cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth, child of God. You can find that over in Psalm 121. And you read it for yourself. He's not going to sleep. He's not going to slumber. Amen. He is not going to allow your foot to slip, child of God. That's what Psalms 121 states about the condition, your condition. And I want you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you with the everlasting love. He is going to bless you. He's going to open every door. And gracious Father, I come right now and touch and agree with your child and ask that your divine will be done as we allow your holy healing power to go throughout the airway, Lord, in the name of Jesus. The Bible said you sent your word and healed them. And oh God, we thank you, dear God, for your healing virtue. We thank you, Lord, for the conversion of those that are listening even unto this, listening to this message, Lord, and these lessons, that it would emanate down in their heart, mind, and soul, and that they will strive to live holy and righteous and upright before you. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name. Lord, let it be so, even according to your will for your child. And Father, we thank you. We, Lord God, rebuke poverty off of their life. We rebuke lack, the spirit of lack, in the name of Jesus, and speak abundance to your house today. Yes, I'm talking to you. The abundance of the Lord is coming to your house today, and I want you to grab it and claim it in the name of Jesus. He said, the Bible said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. And if you can believe God to do it, you're not going to bring it to pass. Your job won't bring it to pass. The vicissitudes of life won't bring it to pass. But the God in heaven, he will prosper you. And so we're going to arise and build and do the work and the will of God that God has called you out to do. And so I speak in your spirit, raise up, child of God. Go back and do the work and the will of God. If it have not come to pass yet, keep on asking. Perhaps you need to go back and seek God again. Or perhaps there's a door that you need to get up off of that couch and go to that door and knock on that door and watch God open that door unto you. A door you must recognize, child of God, cannot be opened until you walk up to the door. What is the door that you need to walk to? Where is the places that you need to get up and go to and watch God open the door? You sit and waited long enough, and it's time now to get up and be about your Father's business, child of God. God will bring it to pass as you move forward on that word that he's spoken in your life. We must recognize in our closing that, as Pastor Orm always says, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one prayer away, one question away from your miracle. Ask God, and God will bring it to pass on your behalf. Go back, knock again. Go back and seek the Lord all over again, and go back and ask of God. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. The power of God, let it influence you. Let it flow through your life, child of God. Just stand up and just lift your hands up in your house right now, wherever you at. Lift up your hand and just say, God, just flow through me, in me, and I'll allow that power of God to flow in and out of my life. Because guess what? God is going to do it. He's going to make it clear. He's going to make it plain. He's going to give you the understanding. He's going to strengthen your inward man. He's going to open up the eyes of your understanding, child of God. I want you to trust God for the ridiculous blessing, for the things that they said will not happen, the things that they said will not come to pass. I'm talking about the miraculous, the supernatural power of God. As I stated, we've seen it with our own eyes. We've seen the hand of God. We're hearing testimonies from throughout the land of what God is doing, even through these radio sessions, of what God is doing through in and through the lives of his people. So I encourage you, admonish you to never, ever give up. And I want you to know that God is on your side. Live holy. Live righteous before the Lord our God, and he will do it on your behalf. Continue to seek him, because he said that he will reward them who diligently seek him. And so in my closing on today, child of God, I want you to know that Pastor Orm is available to come to visit your church and to minister there at your church. Please send forth the information via our website, via the email. Our email address is Helen Orm, O-R-M-E, at MSN.com. If you send for us, we would definitely come and be a part of your ministry. And feel free to give us a call if you want these CDs or any other information or ministry tools. Please give us a call, or please join us, or send us that email, or send us a letter to 326 Union Avenue, Northeast, number 2, Renton, Washington, 98059. So it's been my prayer, and I thank God to have an opportunity to be in your home or your places of abode on today. Again, we want you to know that God loves you. Be encouraged, even you that is in that foreign land, in the vineyard for God. He have not forgotten your labor of love towards his name. Be encouraged. Get back up. Go back and do it again. Don't allow discouragement and despondency to overshadow the power of God and his ability to bring things to pass in your life. And so I want you to be thou encouraged. Wipe those tears from your eyes. Go back. If you threw the towel in, you go back and get that towel and say, God, forgive me. Give me the strength and the help that I need to go another mile, Lord. Give me a fresh anointing, fresh oil, Lord, on my brother and my sister, Father. And we thank you. Give them a water and a stream in their oasis, dear God, in their wilderness, Father. We thank you, oh God. In Jesus' name is my prayer. Be encouraged. You can make it. God's on your side. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. And I want you to let the devil know it's not going to prosper. for you will and you shall be the man or the woman of God that God has called you to be. Go back to the word of the Lord. Find out what the word said about your condition or your matter and put the word on the matter. May God bless you. Be thou encouraged. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. May God bless you is my prayer. Bye-bye.